Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day. Amen. Glad I'm not going to Chicago when I die. That was voted. I heard on the news this morning that Chicago was voted the most corrupt city in the country. Duh. Duh. That's where our president's from, by the way. Chicago. Anyway, glad I'm not going to hell or Chicago. I don't even want to spend eternity in my house. Amen. I mean, I'm okay with my house. I'm comfortable there, but I just don't want to spend eternity there. Somebody say amen. And then I got another call today. And, you know, you don't want to judge people, but you kind of figure them out. Okay, you just kind of figure out where they're coming from. And a lady called, and I answered the phone, and she said that she had received a package of DVDs, like 50 or 60 some odd DVDs. And she said, she started out the conversation, could you find out for me who had those sent to me? And I'm going, well, I said, I don't do the mailings here. And I said, I don't know, you know. She said, well, it was January 3rd. Can't you look that up? Well, I can probably look into it. And she said, well, let me just ask you a question. I said, well, okay. She said, your church, is it a Spirit-filled church? I said, yes, ma'am, we have the Bible. Amen. And I started to quote, you know, Jesus said, my words are spirit. But she didn't let me do that. She did not let me quote the scriptures that I wanted to quote. And so that answer probably didn't sit well with her. As soon as she asked that question, I'm going, I know who you are. Okay? And then she said, what is your belief on speaking in tongues? I said, according to Scripture. And I said the words according to Scripture probably about five or six times. And I said, according to Scripture, you know, we believe that they were given on the day of Pentecost, that they were human, earthly languages, that were not only spoken as given utterance by the Holy Spirit, but they were understood by the people around them by the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And I said, that continued on in the early church. And before I could really get all of this out, and I kept saying, but we believe according to Scripture. She said, well, I had an experience. And it just amazed me that came out. I mean, as soon as I got done talking, she interjected, I had an experience. And my experience was that I experienced, and she said experience about four or five times. And before I could say to her, your experience does not impress me, and nor is it an authority over the Scripture, before I could say that, she kept going on. She cut me off, and she said something about the videos. I said, ma'am, I said, would you just do me a favor? I said, you have about 60 of them there. I said, would you just watch one or two of them? And I said, then if you don't like them, I said, just send them back. I said, or throw them away. But just give us the benefit of just watching one or two. Take your pick. And she cut me off the phone, and she said, have a nice day, and that was it. That's all she had already determined in her mind, that since we were not at her level, okay, she was not interested in anything that we had to say, because we were not up to her spiritual level. We had not rolled in the floor and spoken this gibberish and stuff like that. And some people, you think their mind's made up, and God intervenes. Amen? Like the person Gary talked to today. And then some people, their mind's made up, and they won't let God intervene. And there are people who will not let God deal with them. They have stony ground, okay? They have hardness of their heart on issues, on certain of the Scripture, and they won't do it. Titus chapter 3, if you would, take your Bibles, turn there. And we're going to deal with the preeminence of Scripture over those who would subvert it. The preeminence of Scripture. How's that for a title? That's not too bad. I don't usually title them, but this just kind of... You just kind of look at the text we'll be in tonight, and we're going to close out our study on the book of Titus. And I'm praying about right now going to 1 Corinthians after this. If anybody has a better idea, let me know, and I'll pray about it. But I'm praying about just starting to go through 1 Corinthians. And I just like studying the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept is what I like to do, especially when I'm teaching. And that is what we're doing here tonight. By the way, we have we'll have a special guest coming in. I'm flying in a very special preacher Sunday night, boys. You're off the hook. Okay? I'm not flying him in. Brother John Uter is going to be with us this weekend. He's going to fellowship with us this weekend. He's going to be preaching here Sunday night. And I called him and told him. He called me the other day and wanted to know if I was going to be here. And I said, well, yeah, where am I going to go? And then I called him back today and I said, John, I said, looking forward to hearing you preach Sunday night. And I said, I'll be on a plane watching you if the plane has Wi-Fi. And he went, a plane? And I said, yeah. I said, me and my wife are going off to, we're going to Oklahoma City Sunday afternoon for a few days. And then we'll be back, coming back Tuesday evening. So pray for poor Matthew. And Caleb, yeah. And so anyway, we're looking forward to that. We'll miss being here, but looking forward to fellowship with Brother John and looking forward to the message that God has given him. He's a good preacher. He's a good man of God, and he believes the book. Amen. That's qualification. You want to come stand in this pulpit. Amen. What's qualifications, Brady? You got to believe that. Got to believe what? Believe the King James Bible. You got to believe it. Stand. You got to stand on the promises. Amen. Amen. Because this book is faithful. And I always like to, we're going to pray in a minute, but I always like to personify the Bible. Because it personifies itself. It is someone. Okay? And I'll show you that in the Bible tonight. I want you to pray for Sister Gloria. She is still pretty sick. She spent the night in the hospital night before last. It was night before last. And she got to come home, but just pray for her and lift her up. She's having a hard time. Oh, she's got bronchitis and just a rough time. And then there's a family that has been part of our ministry for a while. And it's Robert and Joanne Cecil. He's having gallbladder surgery tomorrow, and he's got a couple of hernias right around the belly button. I've had one of those, but apparently he's got two of them there, and I don't know if they're going to work on those tomorrow or not. But and she said I could mention this, and I've had this experience. When you go in for surgery, and they're going to put you out, you kind of have this idea: what happens if something goes wrong? You know, I mean, that's just it's the reality of it. And I've had that experience before. And at some point, you just give it over to God and the anesthesiologist and say, "Here it is, God, my life's in your hands." And but anyway, he's having that done tomorrow, and so you pray for them. And then another fella, he is trying to remember. There's so many names run through my mind. But anyway, he wanted us to pray for his daughter, and said she's kind of run in with a bad crowd. And she got arrested the other day, and just kind of for being part of the wrong crowd. I don't know exactly what happened. And then he wants us to pray for his job, and so we'll do that. And just pray for one another tonight. Remember to continue to pray for Lindsay and Antonio. Lift them up. Some days are better than others, and it's that way for all of us. And so just continue to pray for them, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless us tonight. Ask him to bless these requests that have been given. Call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to help you tonight, all right? Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for being with us tonight. I thank you, Lord, for these good old songs we sing. And Lord, Father, we don't make them sound perfect, but Father, they are from our hearts. It's what we believe, and it's what we stand on. And Lord, Father, it's how we feel. And Lord, we just thank you, dear God, that we can sing and put to music and to words, Lord, the things that are in our heart. We ask you, dear God, Lord, that you would bless us tonight. Lord, Father, help every person. Lord, they've been out in the world and they've worked all day and they're tired. And Lord, Father, they may have had a rough day, and I pray, God, that you would help them tonight, Lord, that we've come into this place, dear God, to get refreshed and to be relaxed, dear God. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would just help these people tonight. Lord, Father, help me, and I pray, Lord God, that you'd give me your grace, and Lord, Father, that you'd help me to preach and teach, Lord, what you'd have me to say. Father, bless these other requests that have been mentioned tonight, Lord, and you know what's going on, and you know how things are going to turn out, Lord. We ask, God, that you'd just give your people peace, and Lord, Father, that you'd just give them favor and give them blessing, Lord, and Lord, just visit with us tonight. Be with Sister Gloria tonight and give her healing in her body. Help her get back on her feet, Lord, and back in church Sunday. Bless Brother John as him and his wife travel this way. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you'd give him safety. Lord, Father, that you'd lay it upon his heart, Lord, a message for Bethel Church and for all those that are watching. Lord, Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for this book. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Titus chapter 3, we talked about the beginning of the chapter talks about being subject to principalities and powers. And by the way, those who do not have a problem being subject to someone being in authority over them will not have a problem being subject to the Bible. But you can the Bible issue is always going to be an indicator of other issues that are going to be in people's lives. And when you find people like this lady that called me today, I repeatedly said, according to Scripture, according to Scripture, according to Scripture. Her response to that was, my experience, my experience, my experience, and I had an experience. She has subjected her experiences and her feelings as an authority over the Scriptures, and I'm telling you that people who will lay something as an authority over the Bible do not have a problem in the world putting themselves over other realms of authority. Whether it's home authority, whether she's submissive, I won't guarantee anything, but it's indicative that she may not be submissive to her own husband when she's at home. Okay, I'm just telling you just how this Bible lays things out. And when you believe it in your heart that the Bible is the Word of God and that it's authoritative in everything that it says, and nothing overrides it. When you believe that the Bible is the Most High. Amen. When you believe it to be that, here I am personifying the Bible. When you believe that it is the Most High, you don't believe that there's anything else higher than that. And your faith has truly found a resting place. And it's not in device or creed. It's in the Word of God given to us here in this Bible right here. So that's that thing that he lays out. And we talked about justification and being an heir according to eternal life and this, that, and the other. Then I want you to look at verse 8. This is where we're going to pick it up on tonight. He said, notice, and this really, you know, a lot of times we want to read the Bible, and every now and then, one of the smallest little details will just reach out and grab us. The Holy Ghost like grabbing our collar and say, hey, take a look at that again. Let me give you some good meat on this. There's still, somebody put the bone on the plate and there's still good meat on it. Amen. Notice that he said, this is a faithful saying. And that the Holy Ghost just said, Mike, look at that and think about that. Here you have written in your Bible that the Bible says faithful things. The Bible says faithful things, which means that number one, if you need faith, you'll find it in the things that the Bible says. And number two, if you need something that is faithful and true, you will find it in the Scriptures, because when something or someone is faithful, that means it never diminishes, it never passes away, and you can always count on it. There's a geyser in Yellowstone National Park that about every hour it erupts. It is called what? Old Faithful. Why? Because you can just about set your watch to it. Same time. I don't know if it does it every hour or whatever. Is that how it does it? Every hour, same time, here it comes. Okay? God talks about, now I should have put this verse in here because I was really impressed with it. Back in the Psalms, he talked about the order of the sun and the moon. And he said, as faithful as they are, that's how faithful I'm going to be. And did you know that, astrologers and astronomers over the years have always been able to count on the stars and the sun and the moon and their orbits and their rising and setting. It's like clockwork. They know that at certain date they can do this. The Farmer's Almanac is all based upon what? What God said he gave for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and that is the ordinances of the sun, moon, and the stars, and they are faithful. And God said, I'm that faithful. That's exactly how I am. If you think that by tomorrow morning at 7:30, the sun should be up and you get up and it's not, then the Bible will be wrong. Amen. And God's a liar. But if you wake up tomorrow morning and it's 7:30 and you can see that sun peeping over the horizon, then you know that everything that God said is true because he's that faithful. Can I get an amen out of somebody? So anyway, so that's what I'm going to be dealing with tonight. Number one, these words are full of faith. And number two, you can count on them. So this is a faithful saying. I read something the other day. I wanted to shout. I wanted to do a little dance when I read it. Okay? And you don't want to see that. That'd be one of them private things that I do on my own, not in front of any camera anywhere. Okay? I would not want that floating around on YouTube. All right? Crazy pastor. Blah, 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 okay. Where was it? Psalm 89. You know what? Let me read. I want to see if I can find this real quick. You mind if this was a good rabbit, and I want to go back and see if I can find it. Because I'm pretty sure it was Psalm 89. I don't know if I can find it or not. How do you know? Well, that's what I saw. That's part of what I saw. But I think, I don't know the verse. I don't remember if it was in Psalm 89 or what. Psalm 89, 37, it says, it shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. That's what I was talking about a while ago. But I can't remember what psalm it was, but God said the word that issued forth out of his lips, he would not alter it. Huh? 34? My covenant will I not break, neither alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Thank you for that. God said that once it came out of his mouth, not even he would change it. He would not alter it. He would not change it. And I want to tell you something. You're just better off believing that the word of God always was, is right now, and always will be. It's as eternal as God is. And when it issued forth out of God's mouth, it never changes. And I don't care that when God originally said it, it was in Hebrew. And I don't care that when God said it in the New Testament, it was Greek. I don't care. I believe that now that it has been translated in our language, it has still not been altered. Somebody say amen. Amen. So it's a faithful saying. So I have it in my note here, the word of God is faithful. So number one, if you want faith, read it, believe it, and accept it as truth. I'll tell you, I sit in my office, and I'll tell you that it just takes some people to do this. I just don't have enough nerve, okay? But every time some salesman or Gary is dealing with somebody on the phone that's business related, before he closes out that phone call, he'll say, now, listen, do me a favor now when you get home, okay? I got Gary nailed, okay? Now, and people will call here and say, hey, Gary, how you doing? No, I'm not Gary, praise the Lord, hallelujah, okay? Okay? Bless his heart, okay? He said, but when you get home tonight, read Romans 10 and believe it exactly the way it's written in the King James Bible. Will you do that? Okay, and then you can just imagine the poor person on the other side of the phone going, amen. Every now and then, we'll have a day where we're not sure. Every now and then, we'll have a day, or maybe we'll have a couple of days like that, or maybe we have a whole week where we're not sure. In days like that, here's what you do. You go, turn the TV off, turn the radio off, crawl in a closet somewhere. I've done the closet thing. I've done the closet thing. and get your Bible out and read it. Because if you're needing faith, this is where it's going to come from. It's going to come from right here. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is the only source of true faith in Jesus Christ. That is the Bible. So he says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. So you know what I'm doing? I'm just doing what our apostle said. I'm just going to affirm constantly that these things that are written in this book are faithful and they're true. John ended the book of Revelation with the words of Jesus, right, saying these things are faithful and they are true. Who was it preached Sunday night? Bradley? Preached John 17:17. Thy word is truth. Amen? Thy word is truth. And so he said, I will that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So number one, your faith is going to come from the Bible. Okay? Number two, that they can be affirmed and need to be affirmed constantly. Why is it that we have church every Sunday? Why is it we come back Sunday night? Why are we having it on Wednesday night? I'm being blessed by people writing in and saying thank you for Bible Truth Radio, because they can at any time of the day turn it on, either on the internet or on their mobile phone or iPad or whatever it is that they have, and they can listen to that. They can just get a little bit more affirmation, because sometimes just once a week just doesn't cut it. Amen. Amen. We live in an age right now where we can have preaching to us 24 hours a day. And by the way, the radio stations don't turn off. The TV stations don't turn off anymore. You don't wake up early in the morning and see color bars across the TV screen, do you? Not anymore, you don't. Listen, that's you used to. Some of you kids are going, color bars. You don't know what that is. They used to shut TV and radio stations down at night. Okay? The world doesn't mind bombarding your mind with images and ideas that are cut, and Nicki Minaj at the Grammy Award. If you have not seen that, don't watch it. Her performance at the Grammy Award, it's all over YouTube. You will wish that you had that 7 or 8 minutes back of your life after you watch this. It is the most vulgar, occultic, satanic, demon, devil-filled from hell show that I have ever watched in my life. It's awful. And the CBS put that on. And I will tell you, I will tell you, I will describe for you one scene. And I, please, don't go, oh, Pastor Mike said, don't watch it. If you have not seen it, don't do it. She had, up on the stage, she was like doing this devil exorcism thing. And she had priests up on the stage, Roman Catholic priests up on the stage. And I kid you not, she had altar boys, and it was just for like 2 seconds that what you saw. She had altar boys that had their hands folded, and they were bowing toward, there was a pedestal with women, spread eagle, on these pedestals that these boys were bowing to. And I caught that. Wicked. And we wonder why our kids are getting so messed up. We wonder why. That is the lifestyle and the culture that kind of music comes out of. And I don't care if it's country, rock, pop. I don't care what you call it. I don't care if it's Whitney Houston. Oh, that was a good love song. That was a culture that worshiped and celebrated her that night. Listen, I want to tell you something. Good Bible preachers were preaching against the evils of rock and roll music all the way back in the days of Elvis Presley. They were begging people, don't let your kids listen to Elvis Presley. Don't let your kids do that. You know what? The Holy Ghost was sending word to these preachers, warn America. Don't let them, because the Holy Ghost knew what was coming down the road. And I want to tell you something. It'll do your heart. Now, I'm not saying that you got to go turn on Mike Hoggard 24 hours a day. We're trying to add to the number of preachers that we put on there, guys that I trust, guys that I know they're going to preach the Bible and preach the Word of God and preach the King James Bible. But I'm telling you, it'll do your heart good every now and then. If you can't get to some preaching, then get to the Word and let the Holy Ghost preach it himself. constantly affirm these things in our heart, because every now and then we just need a little affirmation. We need somebody to tell us, remind us again, stir up our memories, stir up our pure hearts, and tell us, this is the Word of God. This is what I said. Live by it. So not only is the source of faith, it's the source of affirmation. Number three, it's the source of good works. We don't know how to do good works. We have no knowledge of what good works is. We like to do something and say, boy, that was good. I did a good thing here. And pat ourselves on the back. And I'm telling you, we don't know what good works are. And if you want good works, they'll come as a result. And we sang that song, Bringing in the Sheaves. We're talking about sowing seeds. Did you know that good works are not so much to be performed as they are to let God plant a seed in your life and good works will spring forth? How many of you believe that? See, a lot of these religions and even a lot of churches, fundamental churches, got it turned backward. They'll say, well, now if you're going to show the evidence now that you're saved, you better be out doing this. You better be out knocking doors, passing out tracts. Why, you got to do this and you got to do that. And I want to tell you something. When somebody's truly born again and they're reading this book, good works will grow out of there. They will produce fruit. They will be producing fruit and they will be maintaining good works. And I will say this, it's directly tied to the faithful sayings that are in the scriptures. And you can just spot it in your life. When there is a deficit of Bible reading and Bible preaching in your life, there will be a deficit of good works. When there is the influence of God's word in your life, there will be good works. I hope I never preach to you and say, you have to be doing this. I hope I never do that, because I just believe that if you're in the book, they'll just start coming out and you won't be able to hold them in. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You will not be able to hold them in. And so anyway, that's the source of it. Let me read some verses to you about the Bible. Psalm 119, 86. All thy commandments are faithful. How many of them? How many? Oh, well, in the original manuscripts. Because that's what they, well, we believe the Bible in there. Original manuscripts. We don't know how many of them are still left around. We don't know how many words have been dropped out since then. And why, there's not a whole lot that we know. And then, boy, that's evidence when they open their mouth. But I'm telling you, if the Bible says that all of his commandments are faithful, that's exactly what it means. By the way, if God is not faithful enough to maintain his word, he is not going to be faithful enough to hold your salvation in his hand. Somebody say amen to that. Okay? And I'll say that to every Southern Baptist and Independent Baptist and the Independent Baptists now are coming out of the closet. They've been hiding in the closet for years under the guise of, well, we don't really believe that King James is the accurate word of God. We believe in the original manuscripts that are the accurate word of God. See, they started coming out of Bob Jones University several years ago, and now they're coming out of some of the so-called fundamental colleges, and they'll say the King James words. But they'll say, now in the originals, here's what it really says. And what they're doing is they're telling you that God was not faithful enough to maintain and hold on and keep this Bible and keep his words. He was not faithful enough to do that. And I wouldn't sit under a preacher who would tell you that God could not hold his word. Because you know what that means? You can get saved, but God may not be able to do anything for you. I don't buy that for a second. Amen? Not for one second. Psalm 119, 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous. So never, here's that good works again. If his commandments are righteous, that means if you want some righteousness in your life, read the Bible. Read the words. Okay? That'll be sowing seed into your mind, and good works will be produced in your life. And so number one, they're righteous. And number two, he said they're very faithful. I like little adverbs and adjectives that discuss. It's not just faithful, which to me, if something is faithful, that's like 100%. What he's saying here is that they are very 100% faithful. Amen. That's like just adding salt to your eggs. Amen. These eggs are good. Now they're very good. Okay. So anyway. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Here's what Paul said. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to, guess what kind of men, Jim? Faithful men. See, faithful men will be produced by faithful words. Faithful church members are the result of faithful words. And I appreciate those of you who show up Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings. I appreciate those who show up when I'm gone. Okay? You're not impressing me. I'm telling you I appreciate it because there's faithfulness there. Now, I'm not contrasting you against other people who go to this church who can't make it or this and that and the other. It's not a contest with me. Amen? I don't think I've ever, in all the years of ministry, tried to pit one group of church members against another group. I don't pastor a church that way. I don't treat my friends that way, and I don't want to be treated that way. Amen? It's not about who's better than somebody else in this church. Okay, I'll preach to you just like I preached to everybody else and try to, but I'm going to tell you something, when you're faithful, and because you're faithful, it's not because of your own self-righteousness or your own self-will or this and that and the other, and you guys know what exactly what I'm talking, because I'm talking to people that I know. I'm talking to people that I know that have had ups and downs in their life, had ups and downs in their marriage, have ups and downs at work, have ups and downs in finance. I mean, just every area of life, you've had your ups and you've had your downs. And you cannot sit here and testify to me in front of all these cameras sitting out here that the reason why you're here, bless God, I just decided that I was going to follow Jesus. That's not how it was. God decided that you were going to follow Jesus. Amen? And to keep you going, God just every now and then, when you decided, I ain't reading that, God found a way. Amen. God found a way, and all of a sudden you were reading the Bible again. I like it. Somebody say amen. So he said, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. If you ask me what I want, number one, I want this Bible taught out of my lips, out of his lips, out of his lips. I want the Bible taught in this church. I want the Bibles, the truth of the Word of God spread around on every DVD we put out, every CD we put out, every second of what's on our radio station. I want it to talk about the truth of the Word of God. And then I want to leave a legacy behind. If God tarries his coming, I want to leave a legacy behind. Long after I'm gone off the scene, somebody 80 years from now will remember a sermon that this old preacher they used to know named Mike Hoggard preached. And boy, he just believed the Bible. That's what I want. God's been faithful to me. I've turned my back on him. God's been faithful to me, and he's kept me in. And I just feel like I want to be faithful to this book because this book is faithful to me. Again, I'm personifying the Word of God because that's what I believe about it. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Did you look at that? Look at that again. In fact, turn your Bible there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. I want you to underscore that one, highlight it in yellow or red, prick your finger and just wipe blood across it. Amen? Or wait till after church and put a coffee stain on that verse. And in my other Bible that I can't read anymore because it's got coffee stains all in it. Amen. I'm glad my Bible was open. Amen. Okay? 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Did you know God, and I want to tell you what, this is in direct contradiction to the whole word faith doctrine. Word faith doctrine says that God cannot work if you are not full of faith. That's what it says. It says the reason why, and I'm going to tell you something, I've got a headache right now that's going up from the middle of my back up this side all the way up to here. It's been bothering me all afternoon. And there's a lady, I hope she's watching tonight. She calls me a lot, bless her heart. She's dying of a lung ailment. And she's had her friends tell her, the reason why you're still sick is because you haven't released faith-filled words to release God to work healing in your life. And you know what they did, Gary? They're laying on her. She's called me crying. They laid on her a guilt trip. That if she dies, it's your own fault. Suffer with it. It sounds like the friends of Job. Who needs friends like that? Amen? But I'm going to tell you what, she calls me. She is the only one of the people that follow us on the internet that knows my cell phone number. Because I told her she can call me anytime, and she does. She just, you know what she needs? Affirmation. Okay? Because she had people circling her that was telling her false doctrine. And I want to tell you something. God does not need for me to believe in him for him to be powerful. God does not need my 100% undivided force of faith in order to release him so that he can work. This one verse blows the entire doctrine away.
Amen.
Okay? If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. You know what the word abide means? He's right there, and he's never left. And when I stepped away, he was still right there. Okay? And when I made my bed in the lowest hell, he was there. Amen? That's faithful. That's why he's my best friend. And that's why when these people call me on the phone, I mean, if you're just wanting to trip my trigger, you talk bad about my best friend, which is this Bible. You start calling my friend a liar. Okay? And you will get a side of me that I don't present on camera. And I try not to be mean. I don't go around looking for a fight. In fact, here, the last part, I'm not going to finish this tonight. Praise the Lord. I don't get into foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. I don't get into that stuff. Okay? And I'm going to wait till next week to get into that. I'm just having so much fun here with the faithful words. Okay? I don't go around looking for a fight. I don't go around trying to pick a fight. If I was, I'd still be in the denomination. And we'd still be going to quarterly meetings, and I'd still be standing up, Brother Moderator, I'd still be trying to get into the doctrinal position of the St. Louis District of Free Will Baptist that we ought to just stand on and hold to the King James Bible and no other. And I would do that every quarterly meeting, and they would just get to where they would hate my guts showing up. And they already do. So I don't go around looking for a fight. I don't go around looking for a debate. I don't go around looking for that. But if you call me and say, now, Pastor, I know Hebrew and Greek because I have the concordance right here. And what it really says is this. You've called my best friend a liar. Okay? Call my wife a liar. Call my mom a liar. Call my Savior a liar. It's like right up there. Okay? Sorry, sweetie. Okay? And I don't know. Every night you call somebody a liar, it may be true. Okay? My wife is not a liar, okay? But if you call her one, I'll get mad at you. You call my Bible a liar, okay? And I will try to firmly and calmly relieve you of that pressure that's on you and relieve you of that burden because you're carrying a load on you that you're not meant to carry. And I'll try to take that burden off of you and say, look, just rest in the Bible, okay? But if you won't, I said I wasn't going to get into this. I'll tell you where I'm going next week. Verse 10, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. And I'll show you what all that means. Okay, probably next week. But anyway, let's keep going, having our fun here. Again, 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. It's just like what we read in Psalm 89. God said, I can't alter what I've already said. You know how we try to take words back that we said. Okay? And when I'm doing videos, I have the ability, if I say something, and I've gotten started on some of these, and the stupidest stuff in the world come out of my mouth. And when it hits me that it did, I'm going to have to edit that out. That is a big, big mistake. And I can cover it up well, okay? One guy commented on how I have the ability to sit there for 2 hours and talk nonstop, and I'm going, no, that's not how it works. I stopped a few times, okay? We say things that are wrong. It immediately hits us. We know that we've said something wrong. We try to take that back. either by her own will or someone doubling up going, you better take that back. Okay? That's what we have to do every now and then, is take words back that we've said or correct ourselves when we've made a mistake with our words. God has never had to do that. It is impossible for him to do that. He's not going to do that. It's never happened, and it's never going to happen, and there's no real reason for it to happen. If God said it, he said it exactly the way he meant it. Okay? Even Paul, in referring to Moses, he said, we use plainness of speech and not as Moses. Moses had a speech, and I love this. Can I just walk down this road for a minute? You stop and think about the Old Testament and what it means to the Jews. They have a misunderstanding of who the Messiah is, and God gave illustrations of why all throughout the Scriptures, and one of those illustrations was Moses, who was a stammerer. Okay? Charlton Heston got it all wrong. Okay? Behold the power of the Lord. Actually, it sounded like hope. Moses did not even want to go to stand and face Pharaoh because he was of stammering lips. And God said, fine, I'll send Aaron. He'll speak for you. Okay? And make it plain. That was God prophesying right there that what was once misunderstood would be made plain in the New Testament. See how it works? Okay? But all through the Scriptures, you'll see how the Old Testament, written in shadows and parables, and it's not understood. And even Moses, a type of that, who had a speech impediment, who stuttered and stammered, and he was hard to understand. And Paul said, now we're using plainness of speech. Now we're speaking plainly. Now everybody can understand. And instead of just a few Hebrew people who only spoke and wrote in Hebrew, now a situation has arisen in the early church days where Greek is all over the place and all of these New Testament books being written in what language? Greek. Why? Because everybody could say it. Think of English. You go anywhere in the world practically. They're speaking English, okay? It amazes me. And so this Bible could go forth to people who have understanding and they could hear the Word of God. I just absolutely love that. But anyway, the Bible cannot be altered. He cannot deny himself. He cannot change it. Once it comes out of God's lips, he has no reason whatsoever to even alter or change his Word. Not one. It's faithful. It's the same. Titus chapter 1. Verse 9, we've already covered this, but the Bible says, holding fast the faithful word. Now, how is it that we can hold it fast? I like what John said in 1 John, that which we have handled. You see, you try to tell me that the word of God is we hear it on the inside of us. That contradicts scriptures. The word of God, the Bible tells us that it can be held in our hands. That means it's a book. Jim, everybody's got one. They're holding it in their hands right now, the Word of Life, and we hold it fast. That means that we don't let Zondervan or Thomas Nelson Publishers or anybody else come in here and say, now, we have a better Bible. Oh, I wouldn't have done that. Okay? Thank you. We have a better Bible than that. And one church after another, and one Bible college after another, and one minister after another has fallen for that line of nonsense. That now we have, and you listen to them, we have a better understanding of Greek. We have a better understanding of the times that these people lived in. We have better manuscripts, and now we have better translators. And I'm going, no, 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 you don't. You don't have what's better. But they have sold it to the churches now that what they have is better than what your forefathers had. It's all better. Remember what Ahab offered Naboth. I'll give you a better. Listen, I got vineyards over here. You ought to go look at them. They're far better than this thing that you got. Why did he want it then? Okay? And so anyway, look at him. He's holding fast the word. Don't let it go. Don't let Satan take it away from you. Don't listen. And listen to this now. You say, bless God, I don't like Zondervan and Thomas Nelson. Yeah, but you like lust of the flesh. You like lust of the eyes, and you like pride of life. Did you know that those will take it away from you? You sitting it quicker than Thomas Nelson ever thought about it. Pope does not want you to have that King James Bible. The Jesuits do not want you to have that King James Bible. But your own sins can take it away quicker than any Jesuit priest undercover. So again, he said in verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. And when I was raised up in this church, I didn't hear NIV this. And the NIV came out in 73, and I started going here in 74, got saved here in 75. And I didn't hear an NIV out of this pulpit, not from any pastor that we had when I was growing up, nor from any visiting preacher. I never heard that. Okay? I was taught that as a young man. And I went to Bible college, came out, I didn't believe it anymore. I didn't believe it anymore, Jim. But you know what? God still abided faithful with me. I cannot begin to tell you how thankful I am for that. I mean, I'll die for the words that are in this book. I'll die for them. Okay? Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, when I started making these, like these King James Code videos about the numerics in the Bible, okay, really what was in my heart was to try to convince people, hey, there's something unique about this book you won't find anywhere else. I never in my mind dreamed up an atheist. And isn't that what you said, Gary, that's the video they watched. I never dreamed up in my mind that it would be used to convince a gainsaying atheist, someone who does not even believe in God, so this Bible is nothing to them. And all of a sudden now, and I'll just say it wasn't me, but it was faithfully transmitting the words that are in this book and leaving them exactly the way they are, and not changing them, and all of a sudden the seed, not of my Coggard, because I'm corrupt, the seed of the Word of God going into them, all of a sudden now, a person who's in darkness and void, now has the Spirit of God moving in them, saying, I'm real, I'm real, and I want to save your soul. Amen? So number one, we learn sound doctrine that will exhort and convince the gainsayers. Convince them. And so when people ask me some question, I try to answer them. Let me just give you scripture here. And you think about that for a while. You meditate on these things and give thyself wholly to them. You just listen to what the Bible says. That way they can't call me and say, you know what? You're an idiot. I didn't like what you said. Okay? Right. Amen? Yeah. Well, that actually wasn't me. That was Jesus. Okay? He's the one that said it. And I happen to know how I can get in contact with him. Amen? Okay? Gainsay. Now, Revelation chapter 19. Turn there. Turn there and I'll cut you loose. Now, I saw heaven open, Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse. Amen. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. Amen. Amen. Faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. See, I got a sneaking suspicion that all this stuff going on in the Middle East is not righteous. I think there's oil money involved. I think there's power games to be played. Amen? I mean, yeah, I don't want Iran dropping nuclear bombs on Festus, Missouri. Okay? But I know of one who's coming back who will make war. And he'll do it in righteousness. And then in verse 13 it says, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. This is why I personify the Bible. Because the Bible personifies the Bible. And so everything from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, the very last verse, and the very, what is the last, without looking, what is the last word in the King James Bible?
Amen.
Amen. All the way to the amen is the Word of God. And so, it is Jesus. It is Christ. It is the Spirit. Jesus said, my words are spirit. And they are life. And so, the lady just said, is your church a spirit-filled church? Yeah, we read the Bible all the time in our church. Okay? We just fill the room with the sound of the Scriptures. And that's the Spirit of God. And people cannot wrap their minds around that concept. That the Spirit of God is right here in the words of this book. And they accuse us, Wayne, of idolatry, of heresy. We've had ministries, not by name, but big ministries, accuse anybody who says the King James Bible is the only Word of God, they're heretics. Based on what? What do you base that? Give me the Scriptures that you base that on. Well, everybody knows. No, not this fella. I don't know that God only inspired the original manuscripts. I believe that this Bible has been, is now, and always will be faithful to me. Though I close it up one day and don't read it. Though through the hardness of my heart and the weakness of my constitution cannot handle the Bible. The Bible never leaves my Coggard. And it'll never leave you. Amen? So if you happen to see my body in a casket one of these days, God forbid, but if you happen to see my body in a casket one of these days, there better be a King James Bible in my hand.
Amen.
And not some rosary.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen? Let's stand to our feet. And a fork. A fork. Because then you know where I'm going. Amen. King James Bible and a fork. Amen. Good to be with you tonight. Okay? Just forgive me if you think that I'm just talking about the Bible too much. What are we doing here? Let's just talk about the Bible. Preach about the Bible. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God. Lord, you not only saved my soul, you saved my life a bunch of times. And Lord, every time you jerked on my chain, Lord, I found out that chain was always hooked to a big old King James Bible. And Lord, I tried to walk away from it. I tried to not believe it. I thought I was well-educated. And I realized I was a fool. And I thank you, dear God, Lord, for the faithfulness of this book to me. When I finally just woke up and said, man, I need to read the Bible, it was always there. It was always there waiting for me. So it is you. It is your word. It is Jesus Christ. And I thank you for that. Let it be a blessing to these people's hearts now. If they're needing faith, let them find it in the book. If they're needing righteousness, let them find it in the book. Lord and Father, if they need good works, they'll get it. Just plant the seed, God, and they'll have good works. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and blessed be his word above, even above his name. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.